Right. It is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it's 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel. It is June 8, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis and with Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to speak to one of our friends, a radio host, a life business coach, a speaker, and a master in business of life and relationship. We're going to talk to Gary Loper. After, we're going to speak about China and what's going to happen there on Wednesday. Then we're going to talk about the Israel Herzliya conference. And we're going to end up with the incredible U.S. Supreme Court anointment of Jerusalem to the capital of Israel. Well, I don't know. We'll love to see. So first, let me welcome Gary Loper on my show, and I'm so honored to have you here. Hello, Gary.
Greetings. Thank you, Orly. It's a pleasure being here and spending some time with you.
Thank you so much for coming. I know that you are special. You're completely smile. I know that you're enlightened. You have the light in you, that you're the spark that understand life. And it's really important. You know, when we speak to people here, we talk with God in mind and with love of the universe and the kindness the better world we can have if only we take a moment and think about it. And having you here is actually is a part of the major plan of God, I guess, because you're here. Here you go.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about you.
Well, right now I'm focusing on helping people demystify Twitter and how they can be able to utilize this as a very powerful tool to be able to connect with messages and causes, you know, conversations that can be had around the world, and also for business to be able to attract an audience and generate more traffic and spread your message. You know, because it's just amazing the power of even a single tweet, you know, sharing positive messages, uplifting messages that are universal in scope, that we can be able to touch lives all over the world is so powerful. And there have been on a couple occasions where we've even saved lives with a tweet, and I know that there's a universal force that delivered those messages at those critical times for those people where they've decided to be able to stay here on Earth instead of taking their lives. So I think we can just
I second that. You know, and I'm completely with you, because once, you know, the world and the organizer of our little world decided, you know, that they are in control, and all of a sudden the network, the web came along. And what happened is that we had the opportunity to open the doors to everything. And, you know, you're teaching them how to do that. That's incredible, because people don't know, you know, they usually they tweet what they eat or something. So it's really important. What kind of a message? What should a Twitter, regular Twitter guy do in order for him to become a part of the change in the world?
Well, Twitter was really designed as a global town square, and so there's no filter, so people can be able to, you know, like a town square anywhere in the world. Town square people, you know, grab up their crafts, their thing, you know, their jellies, their sweaters, their candles, their songs, their political points of view, and they all get together and be able to share it. You know, so that's an incredible way, because, you know, oftentimes when we get isolated, we get in our thoughts and we think that we're all alone. But to be able to have a tool where we can be able to go find somebody else who believes in us, or we can go look at different points of view so we can be able to make a better decision for ourselves, that's critical. And, you know, so you can be able to find
you
it.
Say, so, when you say you go and find, you know, it didn't come to me. I know that in Facebook we have a world of, you know, images that really helps. But in Twitter, it's really, really short. It's segmented. It's right to the point. And sometimes it's really hard to digest, because it's really, you know, brusque. You know, you have a 2 seconds to write.
Well, it does have that, but that's one of the demystifications that we can look at, because Twitter is also probably one of the top 10 search engines in the world. So you could go up and use that search box and be able to type in any conversation that you wanted to be able to have. You know, because I know that in looking at your website, I know, you know, women's rights and pro-Israel were big topics I saw on your pages. And you could be able to, you can type those topics in into the search bar, and you can be able to find out other tweets of people who are talking about that specific topic. You don't have to rely on just waiting for something to be able to show up for you. You can actually go and find by search word specific things that you want to be able to talk about and add to those conversations or be able to learn from. And I think that's one of the biggest things is people get overwhelmed because there's just so many messages that, you know, there's like 9,000, probably more than 9,000 tweets per second that come in.
Well, it's not that much, I would, you know, considering the amount of people around the world.
Oh,
but,
no.
Let me tell you something that you reminded me. You said that, you know, it's the global town square. And if we go back, the revolution that started in 2008 in Iran was over the tweet. They tried to tweet us, and the world did not listen. I remember all the tweets. Everybody were tweeting, you know, they're trying to get a revolution going. And the only country we should have helped, you know, to have a revolution, Iran, and from all places, and it didn't work. Now, still to this day, the tweets are good, but they're not going to go. They're mainstream, obviously, but they are not topping the rest of the networks. Tell me how we can improve our engagement in that.
Well, you know, I think that's probably a little part of human evolution as well, because I think I heard something even back into World War II, when news of the World War II and some of the things that Hitler was doing, when that finally hit the U.S. papers, it was on page 16 of the New York Times.
Wow.
So I think there's sometimes, you know, human nature, we tend to be able to bury our heads in the sand and hope this stuff isn't really happening. But I think that really where we can be able to do is if, in any relationships, if we show up and we listen to people, I think, you know, and if we use Twitter as a communication, as a social networking, not just as a broadcast, and hey, look at, you know, for a business, hey, buy my stuff, come here, do that, but really look at how we can solve problems for somebody else. And how do we solve problems is we need to be able to listen to them and find out what they're experiencing, why they're feeling the way that they are, and be able to bring them solutions. And I think that really becomes a human nature thing, that we're probably not listening enough to each other because we're all thinking that we have to be able to be heard first. And for me, that really comes into what I've learned, that we have to be able to give what we most want to be able to receive ourselves. If we give that away first, it comes back to us in abundance.
Absolutely.
So, whether it's love, it's sort of the respect, it's validation, honor, whatever words that we're going to be looking for that we want, and it's hard, but if we give it away first, it comes back to us in abundance. And I really believe that's a universal law.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. That's why the Jewish people believe so much in charity, and sure enough, everybody considered them rich because they believe that, you know, money needs to be transferred and give away every time to help people assist do what they need to do, and because of that, the law of nature brings it back to help other people to do the same. So I think that you're absolutely right. Gary, tell me more. I want to hear, you know, this is like the tweet expert, okay, a life a business coach. But come on, the world is in crisis. We need some expert. Come on, give me some good thing. What's going on, as you think? Because America needs to rally the world again, because America is still the leader of the free world. If they like it or not, they are years, light years away from the rest of the world. So America needs to lead. The only problem is the crowd become a little crazy. What do you think?
Well, I think it really comes down to, one of the courses that I took and one of the courses that I teach quite often is based on Bob Berg's book, The Go-Giver. And The Go-Giver has these five stratospheric laws of success, which state that, you know, the law of value, that our true worth is determined by how much more we give in value than we take in payment. Second is a law of compensation, that our income is determined by how many people we serve and how well we serve them. That's why I believe that Twitter is great for being able to attract a large audience. We can serve big. The third is a law of influence, that our influence is determined by how abundantly we place the needs of others first. The law of authenticity is the most valuable gift that we have to offer is ourselves, so showing up real and true. And the hardest for a lot of people is the last is the law of receptivity, which states that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And I think, you know, a lot of people are in the giving mode, but they don't allow themselves to be able to receive. And the universe works, every aspect of the universe works on give and take. You know, the sun shines down and nurtures the plants and all these other things, and the rain comes and nurtures, and then we get fruit and we eat, and, you know, there's a whole cycle of life. We just can't exhale without inhaling. So I think if we really, you know, study this and putting the needs of other people first, looking at how many people we can serve coming, you know, from our heart, and just be able to be open to what the universe brings to us, we can use tools like Twitter to be able to attract people who are going to resonate with our message. And there's more than enough business and client potential for everybody to be able to be in abundance. I think a lot of people just get stuck in lack. I know when I went to school, they taught about the law of scarcity in economics. And we haven't seen anything that substantiates the scarcity. There's always more coming in. And if we can look at this, that we help the people who best that we can. And if I can't help you, then I'm going to refer you to somebody else that I know that's going to be able to serve you better. So, you know, I'm not going to come from a place of lack, even though I may be financially strapped. I'm not going to take on something that somebody else can be able to serve you better in. And I think, you know, that this becomes a more of an open kind of thought process where we think about abundance and we're looking to be able to help. Because if we, you know, if a group strives, we're going to strive as well. And we're all in this together, and thinking about the us versus them, no matter what the difference is in our culture or heritage or, you know, the our beliefs and these things, there's a common ground, and we're all in this together, and we can just be able to learn to be able to accept and honor each other. I think that's where the biggest part of conflicts comes, is looking at the differences and being afraid and throwing up walls.
Yeah. I understand. But Gary, you know, today more than ever, we need to realize that having, you know, the good heart, the giver attitude, the, you know, later we'll reciprocate or whatever, you know, the universe is giving back. We need to realize that there is also the big fight between light and darkness. And if you don't decide which side you are on, you can come and talk to darkness as much as you want. It won't become light. You need to bring light to them. So you need to also verify first that you're talking to people who value what you value, like life. We're talking about basic people life. You know, we're not talking about anything else. Right now, the world is fighting against the terrorist group all around the globe that just worship death. So how can you talk to them? You cannot talk to them. You have to bring light to everywhere else in order for them to disappear and go away.
Right.
I
think, you know, my belief is that we live in this world of contrasts. And there will always be contrast. There will always be, you know, on a simple scale, there will be the good and the dark on everything.
Right.
And I think that we have to be able to, that we have to be able to experience it, and that dark will always be able to be there. So we can always be able to make a choice and say, okay, no, I don't want this, so I want to be able to move closer to something else. And I think that if we really start becoming aware of this and realize that we do have a choice, and that those dark experiences are there as an example to be able to allow us to be able to move the other way. And it's anything else, in, like in our relationships, to embrace the chaos. It's there to be able to create change. And we don't change until we get mad or angry enough about what the current situation is enough to be able to shift it. And I think you talked about it enough. You know, you may not be able to change that, those core thoughts of some of these other groups. But if you can change the thoughts of the people that surround it, and really being able to show, okay, this is the path of it. This is the path that you're going down. Do you really want that? And show them the contrast. But really, you know, it comes from, I don't know, you know, what was it? You know, an eye for an eye, and the whole world's blind. So, you know, we have to be able to find another way other than, you know, to be able to have a conflict, to be able to have a positive outcome from it, instead of being able to look at, you know, what are the body counts afterwards? And I don't think anybody wins there. So I think we have to find a better way with words and understanding and connect with each other, so we can be able to see their beliefs and understanding why it is.
Gary, I think, you know, from the image that I saw, from the perspective that, you know, you transmit to the world, I think you heavy duty fighter. You're not gonna be sitting around when the darkness is trying to approach. Right now the world is in disaster. We need everybody in action. We cannot be subdued and relaxed about the future of the world, because if the world is gonna be taken, it's gonna be gone for our generation at least. So I used to live in South Carolina. South Carolina is heaven. It's beautiful. I used to see the seagulls. My tranquility level was at such enormous peace that I didn't need anything. I was in complete peace. Coming to Israel, I realized what's going on around and what they're doing to people, and all of a sudden this heartbeat of the world, this little place of Israel, the enlightened place, start showing us all what they do to animal in China. They see what they do to the nature elsewhere, how they slaughter, whales in the north of European, all those cultural environmentalist, goody two-shoes. And you see the stuff, and you cannot be calm anymore. Being calm means that somebody is aware, but is not still in the mode. I'm challenging you to come one of us. Come one of us, the people that come and bring more light and more for, we need the powerful one, to win this. The American is the powerful one. We love you. For example, when you help businesses, you know how much power you need to put in now to bring businesses to a different level. If before it was like, okay, let's get a economic plan or make a marketing plan, and I can double your customer in no time. Now the customer cannot support anything because China took it all. What are we going to do? We need to reverse everything now. So your business plan needs to be much more powerful, much more, knowledgeable. So, we need to be the kumbaya thing is nice. I love it. I believe it. I drink that Kool-Aid. But I need to. We need to overcome this challenge.
Well, no, I agree, and that's why I am so dedicated about sharing nothing but positive messages on Twitter, because I know that every single day people are responding to me and thanking me and creating conversations about sharing the light that we're doing. And I really believe that, you know, well, you know, we've seen it here in the States, a war on drugs, a war on this, a war on that. And those things hadn't worked. And I really believe that our government and a lot of the other policies are a reflection of what the people are thinking. And
right.
to be able to shift the mindset of the people, it's kind of, you know, to be able to go up and yell at corporations or yell at the government when the government is already a reflection of all the people that put those people into power,
right.
is we need to do that. So we need to be able to change the thoughts of everybody in their homes and their computers and their small businesses in small town USA, and be able to have sort of that grassroots and that consciousness awakening so it can be able to grow into that.
Right.
That's,
but, you know, something I want to stop and, you know, go back to what you said in the very beginning. You said something very, you know, by the way, but it dawned to me. Many people on this level of networking and exposure cannot tolerate criticism. And many people lost their life. They gave their life after, you know, they tweet about them. And you said, I'm going to be there to help them. Did I hear well? Did I hear correct?
Yeah, that's my dedication. I've been on Twitter for 8 years, and I started on Twitter because I was in an emotional depression from a job situation, a loss of income, and a lack of emotional support that I got from that position. And I turned to Twitter, and that turned out to be a social media therapy for me, because I was able to clear my thoughts and be able to refine my direction, because I was able to connect with other people who found value in my messages, and I was able to help and to be able to serve. And I think that everybody has a message.
This is amazing. 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 Gary, if you do that to the people, if you come across and reach out in this incredible universe and touch the soul of those painful, you know, one that, you know, they consider, contemplate even, you are a miracle maker. I bless you. I salute you. I pray for your success.
Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm sorry. Talk.
No, that's great. Well, that's really, it's what I've learned. And a year ago last February, I got a note from a girl who was contemplating suicide, until one of my affirmation tweets showed up across her tweet stream.
So
that gave me a responsibility to be able to look at, okay, I know these messages are going to go out there, whether I know that they're going to touch people's lives, they're going to touch people's lives in ways that I won't necessarily know. Even early on, there was a gangster rapper who was following me on Twitter, and everybody would say, well, you know, you don't want that energy around you. And I went to his page, and there were a lot of urban language, you know, it was very rough and a lot of things
right.
that you wouldn't on. But he started following me on Twitter, and within 6 months, his entire language, his entire page, his vocabulary changed.
Wow.
And so I really think that, and that's why I look at my messages as being universal. And I try, you know, and I stay out of politics because, you know, I'm on here for a business. But there's a lot of room for politics and a lot of whatever discussion that you want to be able to have.
Take my advice. You want to make money? Don't go to politics. The politician will never let you have a penny. They are useless for this one. I'm serious.
Right.
They only spend the money for the people. Now let me conclude here, this Gary.
Okay.
And first of all, with a prayer for your success, with a blessing from the Holy Land, from Israel, to give you all the power. And you know what? Your voice, that low, calm voice, yes. We need that to help those people. Absolutely. You know, forget the fighter mode that I am in, because we are here. You know, everybody wants to kill Israel for some reason or another, but, you know, the light is so shiny and strong here. Everybody wants a piece of us. You're doing the holy thing. God bless you, Gary.
I appreciate that, and I've actually have family whose roots are with you. My wife is Jewish, and their family. So there's a blend, and I really believe that there's an opportunity for us to be able to blend all of our beliefs, and be able to send universal messages out there, and be able to touch the lives, to be able to make everything better. And I think that's my belief on how we can change the world, whether it's one soul at a time. But we just never know when we touch that one soul where they can be able, who they're going to touch, and you know, three or four.
Right.
Phases down a road where we can be able to do that. That's, I want to start pushing that stone and see the rock that it turns into.
God bless you. Now, Gary, give me your website information so people can contact you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. It's GaryLoper.com, GaryLoper.com. And you can be able to find all my free ebooks, how I can help you on Twitter, and a lot of our blogs that will just be able to help you in all the aspects of your life.
Wonderful. Did you plan of making any CDs with your, you know, messages?
I'm working on a lot of it.
My
plan is I'm going to be doing a lot more videos and webinars and a lot more teachings and things. So we've got a lot of programs in the way to be able to help create people with a mind mastery, so we can be able to come and be able to make a bigger impact in the world.
God bless you. That's fabulous. And since the base of our show is in California, I hope that there in Hollywood they'll start investing in some motivational thing that we need. We're a new generation of this empowerment to take us out of this craziness that the world is in. Gary Loper, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on my show. I appreciate
it.
I wish you all the best. Send all my love to your wife from Israel, and tell her come to visit you, bring you here, so you can understand what's going on.
Okay? Thank you, Arlie. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. God bless you. Take care.
Right.
And let's get some music. All right, and we are back. That was amazing, you know, talking to people who help people. God bless them. You know, it's really, you need to be in the state of mind to do so. We need those people so much. Now, let's talk about China. China, you know, many people had China all over the screen this time. And I wanted to talk about what's going on as far as I'm concerned. You know, I've been in marketing most of my life, so I know market. I know also what happens when people are spreading themselves too thin. China is an incredible force of power of working people. Their philosophy is great. They are, you know, honorable people. The food is nice too, you know, for who likes it. And China start taking, you know, an engine, a stronger engine, growing 8% every year and growing and growing. Now, while growing, she start buying so much stuff that it become to be, you know, proprietor of all those incredible assets. She went to Africa and bought all the resources. She went to, you know, Iran, which under sanction, and nobody told her anything, and she bought her oil. She went and bought everything and sold America, sold the consumer market, that mostly in America, their goods and lower costs. In the meanwhile, you know, in 1994, the U.S. Congress passed a resolution to have China as a favored nation. It means that, you know, we welcome all the stuff from China with not all the, I guess, the taxes. Now, first of all, I would look into the resolution to see if we corrected that, because under no circumstance China could continue to have a most favored nation status, because all the taxes that America pays, it's not to feed, you know, free China. I'm so sorry. Now, that's because we owe China so much money, America owes so much money, they want some land in return, you know, a state or two, you know, like let's sell in the middle, you know, the mainland. What do you guys care? Well, I don't think so, and I don't think that we're selling Puerto Rico or America is not planning to sell anything, especially land. But I think that China is over our head with her capacity. She forgot that because of the engine she built so big, a billion people to feed them is really, really incredible at 8% growth. And there are no consumer market who can feed those billion people in 8% growth a year. Now, they're complaining there is a slowdown in the economy. Duh, you know, in 2008, you guys killed us. I don't know what happened then, what maneuver then by, you know, by subsidy of 50% of the merchandise, you know, the Chinese market become very affordable to American packets. And it was a subsidy of the Chinese. Now, I have nothing against China. I have nothing against anybody. But we need to play Turkey, and we need to talk Turkey about what's going on. Now, China is complaining that America owes them money. 10 years of fighting terror in Iraq cost America tons of money. I don't see anybody will pick up the bill. And China, she's a part of the world. For some reason, all this explosion of environment that, you know, we need to correct, it's not in any way, you know, on her desk. She's coming everywhere. She's coming now to Israel to buy, to make a port, so she can settle, and she has a special condition. You know, the people that work in Israel, they're going to send us some Chinese people to work here. Now, not that we have not an immigration problem, but now we're Chinese. Hey, let's party. You know, America, Israel is the mirror of America, and we need Chinese in that mirror, of course, and we love them. It will be nice change. They're polite. Now, I think more than the many other Middle Eastern types, but what they consider the fact that they don't want the people of China to work in the, they call it in the over the green line, you know, the not the border, the green line where they have the pioneers that settled there, the settlers, they call them. Now, what's a country that come to invest in Israel with, you know, you don't work in with the settlers. So we need to touch base on this boycott of Israel product thing that happens in the world now, and in connection with China. Because China, if you send people to work here, you will realize that there are two, you know, it's like one road, and before you know it, you cross to the other side because Google Map doesn't see borders, so you don't even know where how small Israel is. China, Israel is small. So tell Chinese not to work, you know, in one corner or another, it's ludicrous. One. Second, anybody who wants to stop, you know, all this product from the shelves, they're trying to corrupt, you know, to make the people that go broke. Because when you take off shelf, you know, product off the shelf, who's going to pay for it? You're going to throw it to the trash? So it means that all the stuff that you invested in those merchandise are going to the trash. This is like, you know, people coming to your store said, throw all your stuff because we're not going to let you sell it because we don't like that product. Now you can go broke because you cannot pay for the merchandise. I think that merchandise thing is a skin. I don't agree about the anti-Semite routine. I seriously doubt that they can manage anything because unlike my other friends in America, the Jewish friends that so scared and so thing, I think that it's a bogus routine of a boycotting. I think they cannot boycott the telephones that we manufacture for people or the, you know, the seat on the airplane that we fix. They can shut up. You guys are stuck with Israeli product because we do everything we can to improve the world. We do good to the world, and you're using it. So stop throwing, you know, the corn food that, you know, that bamba, you know, there is one delicious item that you must go and pick just on pretense, you know, go to the Jewish section of any market and you find a box or two things. Or you buy Israeli couscous, which you blow, you know, you cook like pasta with salt and put some in oil and onion and it's incredible. And the second one is bamba. You can give it to kids, even to little kids, because it's the most incredible food that, you know, it's a munchie. It's a munchie, you know, it's like Cheetos, but not so salty. Cheetos with no cheese. It's parva. You can eat. You don't need to eat dairy. Any vegetarian can enjoy it. And it's really incredible. So boycott, really, you didn't scare me. You didn't do that. Sorry, people got scared. Anti-Semitism, blah, 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 didn't work. China, I think that if the question is, will China's stock market explode on Wednesday because they're waiting for it to go overboard? I think you guys expended too much yourself. I think that China, if she doesn't collect her stuff, she'll go broke in no time because that machine is too big to operate right now when the market becomes shrunk. You shrunk the market and you took all the money out. So you'll have to subsidize a lot. Maybe give some gift away. Now, as far as taking away part of America, invest in America, sure, but just remember what happened to Japan. They lost it all and America got it all right. So this is Orly Benny Davis, and I love to be here. It's BBS Radio. Let's hear some Kelly music that I got for you because there is somebody is doing something great in Italy and we need some of that romance. So I decided to go back to my little roots and enjoy it with you. This is Orly Benny Davis and BBS Radio. Okay, and we are back after this piccolo grande amore, small and big love. Claudio Baglioni is one of the most incredible, outstanding, amazing singers in the world, in the universe. He's been singing in Italian for the last 30 years. His voice is impeccable. God bless him. And now they are joining venture him with Gianni Morandi, one of the classical people in Italian music, to a great concert in Italy, Rome, in September. And I'm planning, praying to be there. It's one of the things that people have to understand when this guy take a guitar and go into the football arena, packed, you know, it's like, you know, like Bono, like incredible people. And they never, you know, nobody heard them in America. And it's such a shame. So I'm giving it to you because you need to have some Italian in your life now, because when the world go crazy, when everything is so not funny, you want some romance. You want to bring back your romance. You want to bring your love. You want to bring the friendship. You want to have the the group fun together. Something that in Italy they can teach you. They can teach you about sitting together at the table with a ton of food and ton of people and enjoying every bite. That you can have a great family. You can get along. And you are in order. We need to go back to a normal life. We need to stop having this, we all by ourselves thing, American style. We eat a sandwich. No, we need to go back to the family. And Italian is something you need to get into your system. And God, if nobody visits Italy nowadays, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry to tell you, you're missing the best part of the world. Go to visit Italy. It's cheap. It's really cheap these days, and it's amazing, and it's worth every minute. You won't miss the pastry. You won't miss the bite, even in the bar. You eat the bar food. A bar in Italian is a coffee shop. It's not the regular bar that you drink there. There you use coffee. And if you want to fix it, you can fix it, but it's coffee. So the idea is we need to change our mood of operation. My life is telling me I need more love and respect to all people that's been through so much, especially those that survived the war, the veterans. Guys, you need to respect those veterans. We need to take care of them. Now that the world is crazy and the food, we're not sure who's getting it, check on your veterans. Check on your old people. Because some of your friends, some of the righteous men that you meet sometimes, they can vanish. Today we in Israel, we lost one of the member of the Knesset, the former member of the Knesset. His name was David Rotem. God bless his soul. He left us puzzled. He was only 66 years old. He was amazing man of truth, of courage. He was with the Russian party, but he wasn't Russian. He had such a just nature about him. His voice was clear. I would love to listen to him. His message was all coherent. He had a life ahead of him and is gone. So just remember, hug somebody, love somebody. That piccolo grande amore, this love, big love, the small stuff is the big love of your life. Don't let people pass by without telling them how you care for them, because you might miss the opportunity to say it for the last time. And I'm serious, when this world is nuts, with all the wacko are running around, especially those, MTV or something, with the news that they breaking news, or all those that predict, the terrible thing that's going to happen with the triple moon, the red moon and everything. Guys, God is in control. It's, as we say, there is a God and it's not us. So whoever thinks that is something is going to happen in Rosh Hashanah, in the end of another red moon, I just want to remind you that in the last two red moons, something great happened to Israel. So I might happen this year. I don't know. Anyway, this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth, and this is BBS Radio, the radio that lets you talk, the radio that lets you speak, the radio that the people, for the people, by the people. So I'm sure that you're having a good time sometimes, but, not the camouflage that you get from other stations, even though the news is worthy everywhere. We just wanted to remind you that BBS Radio is here for you. So Call us if you want to talk. Call us if you want to say something. Email us, BBS Radio. It's really easy. This is Impossible Truth. You can find me online on Facebook. Write something, and I keep you plugged constantly with news. So it will be in different languages, obviously, but it's always what's going on up to the hour. So let's hear some little more music, and I'll go back to the U.S. Supreme Court and their Jerusalem case. All right? Let's get some music. Okay, and we're back. This was Adriano Celentano, one of the major league singers of the Italian songs. I think that is an actor, is a philosopher, is amazing man, is fantastic, and we love him. And he was singing Change the World. You know, you can change the world. And, you know, we all like wolves sometimes, but we need to change the world to have a brotherhood of men. Now, let's talk about brotherhood of men and the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down a disputed law Monday that would allow Americans born in Jerusalem to list their birthplace as Israel. Now, on their U.S. passport in the import ruling that they underscore the president's authority in foreign affairs, let's say, my goody tissues, U.S. Supreme Court, guys, I love you. You're fantastic. You decided to strike down the fact that, you know, persons born in Jerusalem are considered to be Jewish. They're Jewish. They are part of the Jewish state. They're Jewish. They're part of the Jewish state. The Jewish state is Israel. So technically, you guys struck something that is not reasonable. Now, let's continue. Let's assume that you don't consider the Jewish state a Jewish state, and let's consider that Israel is not the Jewish state. Let's give you all the opportunity to reject, and you're the Supreme Court, the ruler of the land, and I allow, bow, and everything. No, I bow only to God, but I give you all the honor in the world, and my best friends are judges, okay? I live constantly with my life, with my friends, lawyers, judges, and I love them, I adore them, I respect them, and I call them your honor. So I call you, your honor, the U.S. Supreme Court. But I need you to fix that, because under no circumstance I want to make the U.S. Supreme Court sound terribly wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because on the laws of Jerusalem, somebody has to go back to Resolution 181 of 1947, 29 of November, UN Resolution 181, stated that Jerusalem is corpus separatus, right? Sure, so you got that right. The only problem is within 181, you have also in 100 days of that legislation, people had to decide to which state they belong. So it doesn't matter, you know, the passport at the end of the day needs to make a decision whoever you belong to. Even that you think that you decide on Jerusalem, sake, which is corpus separatum, means that, you know, by international law, it's a state by itself. But to consider a Jewish man not to be listed as Israel as a Jewish state after that, yet the provision in 181 stating that you have to choose within 100 days which state you want to be in, it means that God, you guys have to clear that, because under international rule, you guys are took the wrong censure. So, because I love you, I won't go public on this. It's only here between me and you on the air and whoever intelligence person that listens to us, because you must be very smart to listen to me. Because how can you tolerate so much information in so short time? Because only people who are mathematically coherent and economically savvy and emotionally very, very brave and loving and caring. That's who you are, of course. So the U.S. Supreme Court, I love you. I honor you. I want you to come and teach Israel how to make constitution. But right now you have to amend that, okay? So the U.S. Supreme Court, Jerusalem, is a part of the Jewish nation because it's the holy city of Israel. And even if you don't decide that, you take a lefty position, because that's the position you took, saying that you didn't take it, you did take it against the 1994 resolution of the U.S. Congress stating that America needs to pass the embassy to Jerusalem with Bill Clinton as the president. And Hillary Clinton, remember, you guys told, God bless his soul, Rubin, that you passed the embassy. You already purchased the land. Mr. Clinton promised. But the guy, after got killed, God bless his soul, and no embassy in Jerusalem. And you, Hillary, forgot. You even want to divide it. My God, how politicians think that we have a short memory. But with Jerusalem, what can you do? It belongs to us. It's like, part of Temple Mount. It will be always ours. You like it or not, but it's Jewish because there were two temples there. It's Temple Mount. That's the name of it. So we're running at the end of the show. I think that we cover most of what we wanted to cover, even though that I would like to talk to you about God some more and tell you that life with God is a life of enlightenment. Life fearing of God is light of order. A life grateful to God is full with grace. Life thankful and servant to God is a happy one. Because if you serve your God well, you'll be happy because he is incredible boss. And I hope that you guys all will have a credible boss, even that they supply you with, just work. But it's the most important thing for you to operate. So I bless all the bosses in the world, and I hope that they are graceful, kind, and loving, and give you all the opportunity to grow and be incredible in the way you should be. All right? And I want to salute you again and remind you that there is a lot of love in the world, in the universe. Stop trying to control things. Things are manageable. They're lost and they're found. You just cherish the one you love. All right? So let's get the final music, and I'll salute you. This is Orly Benny Davis, The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio every Monday at 8 p.m. Jerusalem, Israel time. And we'll talk to you next week. God bless you. Take care.